Well, in case you were wondering, Tennessee was giving Georgia a run for its money, but Georgia's just scored a touchdown. So with 9 minutes to go, they're up 11. Doggone. I was pulling for Tennessee on this one, too. Yes, just like that reminder that popped up on my calendar Tuesday, fall is here. And if you've been outside at all since Tuesday, you know what I'm talking about. So a good sunny first Saturday of fall to you. This is Woods and Water, South Carolina on 94.5 WGTK. And I'm your host, Roger Metz. You can listen to this show right there on your FM dial. Download the free Conservative Talk 94.5 app or listen to the live streaming feed at www.conservativetalk945.com. Look on the right-hand side of the page and click the Listen Live link. I'm not going to waste any time because everybody likes good news. And if you've listened over the past few weeks, I've asked for your prayers because a good friend of mine has been diagnosed with a very rare medical problem. There was a tumor on the inside of his heart, and they had diagnosed it as cancerous. So he was in Greenville for a long time, got transferred to Duke Medical, and they scheduled, then put off, and then rescheduled surgery based on all the tests they were doing and the results they were getting back. And they came back Wednesday morning and said, we're doing surgery Friday. So he spent over 8 hours in surgery yesterday, and I can never remember all the details. So I just want to read you the text that I've got because we all prayed for a miracle, and we got one. So here's the text I got yesterday. Doctor removed right and left atrium, reconstructed it, restored blood flow, marked where the tumor was in the left ventricle, removed blood clots, says he has a strong heart. Surgeon looks exhausted. And then this morning, I got another update this morning that says he is off the ventilator, getting a little oxygen to help him off. He's off all the major medications. He is in some pain, so he's taking some pain medications, alert, drinking water. The plans are for him to get up and walk today, and they would like to get him out of ICU into a room either late tonight or first thing tomorrow morning, which is incredible. Just almost more than you can believe. So from the bottom of my heart and from all the family and friends who will never know who you are, we want to say thank you. God doesn't always give us the results we pray for, and we know that from the start. But sometimes his results, the same ones we get, and we won't. So I'm going to sit in the woods for a little bit this afternoon. Haven't had much time or, frankly, the will to go before now. I really don't care what happens once I get there. I just want to go exhale. And for those of you who have been here, you know what I'm talking about. So we got a miracle, and I appreciate all your prayers. Like I said, I haven't been in the woods any, and I mean any. I haven't been to work on food plots, trim shooting lanes. I don't even know if my tree stands are still where they were last year. There could be that big oak tree could be laying flat on my best stand. I don't know. And I was scrambling around this morning because my brother and I decided we wanted to go sit in the woods this afternoon after we heard Milton's good results, and trying to look for all my warm weather hunting stuff. Is anybody else in the same boat as me? Just totally unprepared. However, I have not been in the woods to hunt, but I have been out in the woods in my backyard, and it's starting to even sound like fall. And yes, the acorns are falling. Please forgive me if this update makes you crave chocolate, but I've got red acorns the size of Reese mini cups, white oaks the size of 3 or 4 Rolos stacked on top of each other. Subconsciously, I must have a real addiction to Reese's and Rolos because those are the two closest things I could think of for a comparison. The pin oaks, well, you know, they're the same as always, maybe about the size of Skittles, and yeah, I like those too. So, acorns are dropping, the deer are on them, because every morning when I go out, the ground is clean. In the afternoon, they're back on there. So at night, they're coming out and wearing the acorns out. It's a good time to be outdoors, that's for sure. So today's show, we're going to spend a little more time on the calendar this week because I don't think I'm going to have time for one next week. I also have some audio from the Take One, Make One Youth Dove Hunt from September the 1st. I really apologize to those kids for taking so long to get them on the air. Some of them probably listening right now. I hope they are. I want them to know I had a great time with them while I was there. I hope they had a good time hunting, and I hope they'll continue it. So if they're listening or anyone else is listening, it's a wide open show today. You're welcome to call in and talk about whatever it is that's important to you right now. The number 235-9405 around the upstate, or 877-235-9405 if you're a little further down the road. calendar for this week. And we're going to go back to last week and say, if you want to eat barbecue, you need to go on Facebook and look at all the barbecue events that were taking place next Saturday. There's three or four of them across the state. I was going to go to the Malden barbecue thing last night. Just didn't work out. So remember, next Saturday, it's all about barbecue. And this week, it's really mixed. So you never know what's going to happen with these calendar events. So first on the list is Cabela's is hosting a Ladies' Day Out. They had it posted on the Outdoor Wire, and then I actually went to the local Cabela's website, and sure enough, Saturday, October the 4th, Ladies' Day here at Cabela's in Greenville. Shoot like a girl. That's not meant to be detrimental, just what they've got on their website. Intro to pistols, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the gun library. Join us for a chance to learn about our selection of handguns, their features, and proper use. Bows for girls, intro to archery sports. And there are a lot of girls out there involved in archery right now. Trust me on that one. Learn about different types of bows and how to properly hold, shoot, and care for a bow, as well as important safety tips. Real girls fish with pro angler Martha Goodfellow, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Fishing department. Come with your question and fish stories for a chat on various fishing techniques, reel tips for bait casts and spinning reels, different fishing lines, rods, and also, hey, right here in Cabela's, for the ladies in our audience, something for you to do outdoors. And then we get into a whole weekend of good family activity at Revolutionary War reenactments. It's a big one. Walnut Grove Plantation is having their festival. It's part of several others. So Saturday and Sunday, October the 4th and the 5th at Walnut Grove, they're having the Overmountain Victory Trail Association presentation. 11, 12 o'clock is a reenactment of William Cunningham's raids, 2 p.m. artillery demonstration, and 4 p.m. battle. On Sunday, October the 5th, at 10 o'clock, they're going to have a backcountry prayer meeting. And this carries over to Kings Mountain because this is the anniversary of Kings Mountain. So at Kings Mountain National Military Park, Saturday, October 4th, they're going to have an encampment from 9 to 5. Performance of Sonora Bella, an 18th century traveling entertainment all day. And then at 7 to 8, they're going to have a guided lantern tour. On Sunday, anniversary encampment, more performances. On Tuesday is actually Tuesday, October the 7th. Excuse me. Is actually the anniversary of the Battle of Kings Mountain. They're going to be open all day. At 11 o'clock, they're going to lay a wreath, have a wreath laying ceremony. At 3 p.m., the arrival of the Overmountain Victory Trail Marchers and keynote address by author Mike Harris. Calpin's National Battlefield is also going to be having things during the same 3 days, Saturday, Sunday, and theirs is going to be Monday. So Saturday, Colonial Crafts demonstrations, weapons talk, a ranger-guided battlefield tour, a talk about the Southern Campaign. Sunday, pretty much the same thing. And Monday, they're going to have music of 1780 Backwater String Band. And 6 to 7, the Overmountain Trail Association drama, Night Before Kings Mountain, a play. So if you like, and I love things like this, and that's why I talk about them on the calendar, because it's a great way for kids and families to get outdoors, have fun being outside, because, man, fall is here, plus you learn something. So historical-wise, next weekend, besides being a lot of barbecue across the state, right here in the upstate is a lot of military from the Revolutionary War period. Under the Hunter's Moon, rise before the sun and be rewarded to the second of four consecutive total lunar eclipses that is taking place within the next 18 months. This hike is going to take you 3/4 of the mile up the Table Rock Trail to observe the Hunter's Moon of October pass through the Earth's shadow. So October the 8th, from 3:30 in the morning till 9 o'clock in the morning, Table Rock State Park. You need to register by October the 6th. There is a $25 per person charge, but it sounds like it's going to be pretty interesting. Anyway, I mean, hiking at 3:30 in the morning, tell me, don't forget your flashlight. That would be, yeah, that's almost as important as don't forget the camera. But anyway, that's up at Table Rock. Put that on your calendar. Make sure you get out and have fun with that one. There's the music. All right. We've got a lot more on the calendar. Get back on it after this break. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Let's get back and finish up with the calendar. We go from a moonlight hike to a moonlight canoe float at Sherall State Park. Natural beauty birds and wildlife abound on the 361-acre Lake Juniper at Sherall State Park. Come join us for a quiet trip to the headwaters, accompanied by a park ranger. Paddle, relax, enjoy the scenery. We'll leave before sunset so you can watch the sun go down and then paddle back by moonlight. That's happening October the 11th. That's at Sherall State Park over in Sherall, South Carolina. Autumn Candlelight Tour. Here's another Revolutionary War. Down at 96 Historical Park, 96 South Carolina, on Saturday, October the 11th, guided battlefield tours from 7 p.m. to 8:20. Reenactors along the trail portray life and war in the 18th century. Tours cover 1 mile in distance and last approximately 1 hour 15 minutes. It's free. So, gas to get to 96 South Carolina, and you'll have a little evening stroll through the woods with, you know, reenactors, which is fun. The Local Hiker, which is a store right across, right down Wade Hampton over there in Spartanburg, 173 East Main Street. They have some things from time to time, and I've missed most of them this year. They're actually having a meetup hike at Cross State Park. This is the last one in the season, October 11th at 10 a.m. or 2 p.m. And they give two different dates because they're taking two different hikes. One, 10 miles, the other 4 miles. Hence why you meet at 10 a.m. or 2 p.m. The 10-miler, obviously at 10 a.m. 4-miler will meet at 2 p.m. Offer a camp out for those that would like to stay after the hike. The site fee will be covered by us, as well as a campfire dinner Saturday evening and breakfast Sunday morning. You can go online to register or at the store. Again, that's the Local Hiker, October the 11th, over at Croft State Park. Glendale Outdoor Leadership School, and I tried to get Jay Ellison with Glendale to come on. He had a group coming in from 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock today, so I wanted to have him back on later on. You've heard me before reference their wilderness first aid courses. They have achieved solo wilderness first aid certification, SOLO. And I don't want to steal his thunder, so I'm just going to leave it with that. But Glendale Outdoor Leadership, October the 11th and 12th, having a solo wilderness first aid course, ideal for those who enjoy outdoor leadership, outdoor adventures, as well as trip leaders who desire a basic level of first aid training for whatever outside that you're going to do. There is a fee for it. You can add an option for the CPR module. It's at the Goals campus over there in Glendale, South Carolina. Jay Ellison's your contact, 864-529-0259. And, I love some of these course topics. Introduction, Anatomy of a Wilderness Crisis, Backcountry Essentials, Medical Emergencies and Critical Care, Patient Assessment, A Rescue Plan, Soft Tissue Injuries, Sprains and Strains, and Universal Precaution. So a really good course if you are a scout troop leader or take groups hiking. Maybe you want to hike the Appalachian Trail or the Foothills Trail, whatever. This would be a great course for you. And to have the solo certification now, I understand, is a big thing. So congratulations to Glendale Outdoor Leadership. Jay's going to come back on, and we're going to go over that and let him tell you more about that. Introduction to orienteering. Okay. The park staff at Musgrove Mill State Historic Site invites you to a program designed to teach the skills needed to read a map and use a compass, which goes right along with the wilderness survival. So that's at Musgrove Mill State Historic Site in Clinton, South Carolina, October the 11th from 1 to 4. $5 per person. What to bring? Comfortable shoes. Says it all, doesn't it? And then I believe this is the final one, family fishing clinics. If you have ever wanted to know the basics of how to go fishing, this is the course for you. They're taught all around the state during the year. If you're interested in setting one up, if you have some people that would like to go in, normally like 15 to 20 people, you can get in touch with the Department of Natural Resources Freshwater Aquatics Program. That's Lorianne Riggin. But what they do is they teach you the basics of fishing, from lure tying, lure selection and casting, knot tying, how to put a reel on a rod. Now, most of the combos you buy in Walmart, they already come assembled. But, you know, it's a real fun, basic course to get you involved in fishing. So that's going to be at Sesquicentennial State Park. They're held all over the state. If you want to schedule one, and Lorianne loves for you to schedule these things, you're more than welcome to call her. I will be adding those to the Facebook page. You can check them out over the next week and make plans to go do something. And all those calendar events are there for past weeks. If you're looking for something to do, now's the time to get out. So anyway, moving on, Labor Day Monday, I was at a Take One, Make One dove shoot. And I apologize to those kids for not getting this up sooner. Some of them are listening. I had a good time. It was hot. I think it was 96 degrees. Those kids stayed on that field. They shot. They did all this. So before the hunt, what we did was we sat around and just had them go around because I want to know what kind of kids these were. So I've got a clip. It's about 7 minutes long. If you'll indulge me, listen to these kids, tell why they're there, how they learned about it, and maybe you can take this and find a kid that wants to get involved and say, hey, look, I heard kids just like you. Here's all you got to do. And when I get done with this clip, I'll tell you more about the Take One, Make One program. We're here today at the first Take One, Make One dove hunt of the year. We're down near Pendleton, South Carolina. Thank you, Eddie. We're down near Pendleton. And we got a group of seven kids here. Some of them is their first time. I think we have one repeat in the crowd. And we're just going to go around and let you, for those of you out there listening who think you might want to do something like this, but not sure. Yes, it's hot out here today. That just comes with the territory of dove hunting. We take one, make one, does deer hunts too, in case you're interested in that. But we're going to go around and let these kids tell you a name, you know, maybe how old they are, if this is their first hunt that they've ever been on, if this is their first dove hunt, and what they expect to have from the day. We've already, some of us have been kidding with them that, you know, pull the trigger three times. It's okay. The ammunition companies need the money. And that's what dove shooting is really all about. It's just having fun, burning some powder. So let's go around. We'll get a few of them to give us their names and first time hunters.
I'm Leanna. This is my first time hunting. I learned about the program through archery camp maybe a month ago. And Officer Eddie came and he told us about DNR. And I thought it sounded like fun, so I wanted to go hunting with my dad. And I thought it'd be fun to be able to hunt and be able to eat what I hunted.
And that's a good point. From the first get-go, when you go hunting, you have a responsibility to the animal you're hunting. It's a respect thing. You're not out here just to shoot something, just to say, oh, I killed a dove. When you go out on these things, you don't pull that trigger unless you're ready to eat it. I remember when I was a kid, I shot a meadowlark. My daddy took my gun away from me for 6 months during hunting season. I never shot anything else. I wasn't ready to eat. So it's a respect thing. And that's a very good point. Thank you very much. All right, sir?
I'm Christian, and I learned about the DNR from our friend Jonathan and his dad's Mr. Montz. And like she said, I also like to eat what we hunt.
Very good. So you're friends with the man's son himself, right?
Yep.
Is that a good friend to have?
Yeah.
I bet you get all the inside scoop and some leftover stuff to boot, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, good luck.
Hi, I'm James. I also learned about the program through Mr. Mont's son, Jonathan, and I would like to eat whatever I kill.
Do you think you're going to kill something today?
Yes, sir.
That's the attitude to have. I will shoot something. We have some unexpected guests behind us. Yes. The cows have showed up. Number K737 in one ear. Oh, she's got dual personalities. Well, I guess all of them do. We're attracting a crowd of Angus cows here, but we'll keep moving. Young lady.
Oh. I'm Emily. This is my second time hunting, and I learned about this program through Cabela's when they had the opening ceremony.
So you went to Cabela's and you saw the Take One, Make One trailer?
Yes, and I wanted to, like, get more, I wanted to just get out more and hunt, and because tastes good.
Have you ever shot a shotgun before?
I think so, once or twice maybe, but I don't really like the kick. But no, it's still fun.
Well, when you're shooting at a clay pigeon or a target, you will feel it a whole lot more than you will out there on that field this afternoon shooting at a dove.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing. Not until tomorrow. Tomorrow you'll probably wake up and go, wow, my shoulder's sore. But today you won't notice it. All right, so, and this guy's dad has a really cool red Mustang.
I'm Preston. This is my first time hunting. I got through this also through Cabela's when they first opened. And I think it's a fun experience to go on soon.
This is a dove hunt. Do you think you'd like to go deer hunt at some point?
Some point in my life, yes.
Very cool. Man, a few words. He'll be the one that walk off the field with 10 today.
My name's Nick, and this is my second dove hunt, and I also got this from the Cabela's.
So you're a veteran. Second dove hunt?
Yeah.
Veteran. You're a veteran of the dove field.
Sure.
How'd you do on your first dove hunt? How many did you get?
I got 5 and my sister got 5.
Ooh. That's pretty good. Well, we look for you to come out with a limit today. In a box of shells.
I'm Caleb, and I found this out from church, and I've been on maybe 7 hunts, mostly deer and a couple of squirrel hunts. It's my first time dove hunting.
We have quite the audience of the Black Angus cows here. And they're all paying real good attention. Yeah. So, this is your first dove hunt. Have you enjoyed your other hunts with Take One, Make One?
Yes, I have.
And been successful in something?
Yeah, most of the time.
Okay. Good. Well, like I said, if you're out there listening and we have had Eddie Montz on the show before talking about the Take One, Make One program. These kids are all here. You heard a lot of them say this is their first time. We have some parents here. We have some guardians here. We have a lot of mentors here, and I'm going to talk to some of the mentors during the day. We had a great barbecue lunch that was worth the drive down and the 94-degree heat. Thank you very much. And we'll have some more on this later on, but those are the type kids that come on these hunts. It's the first time. They want to know what it's about and think, yeah, you know, this could be the start of something I'd like to do for the rest of my life. And let me tell you what, it's not a bad thing to have for the rest of your life, because a lot of us here have been doing it. And we were standing around sharing stories before and laughing, and you'd like to see some of these kids when they're in their 40s and 50s doing the same thing we were doing. So thanks, kids. Y'all have a good day out there.
It was a good day. And I apologize, the wind was blowing. We were an open, we were under tents, but it was open. The wind was blowing and we had the cows back there, and I'm just getting used to this voice recorder. So forgive me for some of the roughness of that, but it gives you an idea. You know, some of them are friends with Eddie Mont's kids. Some of them heard about through Cabela's, through church. And they were all kind of apprehensive about coming on and being recorded and be on the radio, but they did a really good job. And I appreciate them doing that. I've got some more on the Take One, Make One program when we come back. Hang on, and we'll get to all the rest of the show. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We had the clip from the Take One, Make One dove hunt in the last segment. And I had thought I had recorded another segment after the hunt, but evidently it just didn't make it for some reason or another. So they'll have to forgive me for that. A couple things I took away from that day that you may have not, there it was right there on the recording, except for one. Did you notice the politeness? Yes, sir. You know, they may not have been able to say exactly what they wanted to say succinctly or whatever, but they did a really good job. For most of those kids, probably never been interviewed before, and I appreciate them doing that. Eat What I Shoot. The very first girl that was on that recording. And that's the first step, probably the most important step to being an ethical hunter. And she didn't get any prompting from me. I didn't coach them on what to say. They just said exactly what they wanted to say. The funniest thing from that whole day was they didn't want to waste the ammunition. These Take One, Make One hunts are free. It doesn't cost these kids anything except the parent or guardian getting them to the hunt site. This one was down in Pendleton. It was on some Clemson agricultural land. It was a 15-acre field that Clemson just told Eddie Montz, hey, look, you can have it to have your dove hunts. We're through with the experiment. We're running on it. So from now on, it's yours. So is that field will get better and better because it was sandwiched between another really good field and a field that was so good. So we had flying doves come around. The more prep time they get next year to get that field in shape, it'll be a better field. And I've seen some pictures from the Take One, Make One, Facebook page. They're having some really good shoots on doves right now, but they didn't want to waste ammunition. We kept telling them, shoot, you know, no, I don't want to waste ammunition by missing. You know, I have those same thoughts about not wanting to miss, but it does me no good. I'm sure if they didn't figure out missing as part of the fun of a dove shoot, they'll get it the next time around. Eddie Montz with SCDNR has been on the show while wearing his sidearm the first time. And the other Take One, Make One officers do a great job with that program. Eddie was awarded Law Enforcement Officer of the Year by the QDMA Association for his work with Take One, Make One. And if you get out to any of these outdoor events, and you've probably seen the trailers, the Take One, Make One trailers from DNR, they're camouflaged. They have a BB gun range in some of them, the archery shoots on others. Those Take One, Make One guys spend practically every Saturday during the fall making those hunts run. So you have to appreciate all that effort and all the background work that goes into them. I mean, the mentors, they're just volunteers. They show up whenever Take One, Make One needs them. For a dove hunt, deer hunt, whatever. And then all the other organizations like the National Wild Turkey Federation who just hosted a dove hunt last weekend. The hunt clubs that are bringing these kids on for these Take One, Make One deer hunts. They're opening up properties that you and I couldn't buy our way into. Just to give these kids a better than average chance to make that first hunt a success. And again, success is what you make out of it. Success for me is just being out there. Success for these kids, pulling the trigger on the dove field. We had some walk off, five or six. Some didn't walk off with any, but they all had a great time. It's too late to get in on it this year, but that just means you've got a year to make sure you're on the list for next year. So you can find the Take One, Make One applications, whether you want to be a participant or a mentor. You can find that information at the DNR website. That's www.dnr.sc.gov/education/TOMO. I can't wait. I'm going to a deer hunt down in the lower part of the state with the Take One, Make One kids and Eddie again later on this year. So we'll have another whole group of kids who are going deer hunting that are going to tell us what it's like. It's fun watching these kids get involved. It's really fun. In kind of going hand in hand with what we're talking about here with Take One, Make One, National Shooting Sports Foundation has a really good short 2-page article called The Ethical Hunter. And I've had this in my kind of in the back of my head that I really wanted to talk about why I hunt and that sort of thing. And I sat down for a long time and tried to figure it out, read articles, how other people try to explain it. And it just boils down to if you have to explain it, you can't make the other person understand. It's just something that's in you. And it's, for me, it's just been a lifelong thing. But we all have the obligation to be ethical hunters. And this has a little, you know, prehistoric set to it, the then and the now. And the then part of it was back then, hunters and the game they sought were inseparable. Human existence and hunting were one. The now, today, few of us hunt to survive. True. But we eat a lot of venison around my house, especially with the price of ground beef at $4 a pound. The license fees and taxes hunter pay contribute to a significant portion of this nation's conservation funding, from habitat research to restoration. Though our tools are more efficient than those of our ancestors, as ethical hunters, we avoid the use of technology that would place the game we hunt at an unfair disadvantage. We abide by ethical standards to preserve the challenge of the hunt. And I almost wonder if we're not bumping up against the technology barrier. Again, that's for everyone to decide for themselves. We honor the majesty of wildlife and wilderness and respect the game we take. We are not wasteful. We understand the difference between right and wrong and behave accordingly because we appreciate the opportunity and privilege to encourage and preserve the continuation of our ancient roles as hunters. I got a little note out here. My wife used to ask me how much it costs me for every pound of venison I bring through. But you know, in the last couple of years, she hasn't said anything about that. Funny how that works. And it goes on. Be an ethical hunter. Preparedness. Hunting well is synonymous with good hunting. Ethical hunters practice their shooting skills, prepare themselves for the physical demands of the hunt, review the rules of firearm safety, select equipment equal to the dignity of the game, and maintain their firearms properly to assure functional reliability. Trust me. Practicing shooting skills is something that I was always drilled into me, especially safety. Now that I've taken up a bow, I shoot a lot. And it's fun. It's relaxing. Who knows if I'll ever use it or not. Companions. Ethical hunters choose their hunting companions with care. Some of us do. I've got some real renegades that I hang around with every once in a while. They keep me on the straight and narrow, though, because I just can't bring myself to do anything wrong. Except for the time I baited a dove field when I was about 15. But it was unknowing. Years afterwards, I thought back on that, and I went, holy smoke. Crack corn and wheat. You just don't go spread that stuff out on a cornfield. Oh, anyway. They must share a commitment to responsible behavior and be bound by mutual consideration. With good companions, there are no bad days afield. And that's true. Landowner relations. Hunting on someone else's land is a privilege, not a right. The ethical hunter always asks for permission, follows the owner's wishes, and leaves the property as it was found. You know, when we were growing up, we rambled across a lot of territory. But we didn't mess anything up. We clocked in closed gates that we went through. We didn't leave trash. Picking up shotgun shells? Holy smoke. If my dad found a shotgun shell on the ground anywhere on our farm, we were in trouble. So, taking care of the resource is what you're trying to get across. Expressing thanks for the owner's hospitality, maybe a gift from the game bag, common courtesy, can go a long way to long-term good hunter-landowner relationships. Game. Understanding wildlife behavior is crucial to hunting success and adds immeasurably to respecting the hunt even when no game is taken. That's true. If you're a duck hunter, ethics go to you. If they can, ethical hunters use well-trained dogs to help find down game. Nothing gripes me anymore than watching somebody that doesn't have a good dog or a dog at all and watching a, you know, winged duck go down and sending my dog to help them out. You know, you prepare for whatever you're hunting, you're pursuing. Skill, patience, and respect enhance the total hunting experience. I got three little blurbs here. If we can act when alone as though a crowd were watching, we will be stronger. If we can calculate our hunting achievements in terms of memories earned instead of shots fired, our days will be richer. If we can cherish each hunting day without regard for its results, we'll be happier. The ethical hunter has a responsibility to the non-hunter. Non-hunters are critically important to the future of hunting. Most non-hunters are tolerant, but will be less so if forced to confront displays of dead game or see people in hunting clothes behaving in disrespectful ways. Hunters who behave irresponsibly pose a greater threat to the future of hunting than any anti-hunting group. Bad impressions are difficult to change. And that's the way I approach it. It's the tailgate up or tailgate down. You know, tailgate down were great in the 70s and 80s when deer were just few and far between. And I used to love to see guys with a deer in the back of their truck. Nowadays, you know, put the tailgate up. Everybody behind you on I-385 does not want to see that dead deer in the back of your truck. You know, spare them the grief. That's the approach. Hunting is as old as humankind and as new as tomorrow. We will continue to hunt for as long as we honor the game, shoulder our fair burden and responsibility for the natural world, and require more of ourselves than others require of us. So, instead of telling you why I hunt, I figure that'll do just as good a job. We do have that responsibility to be ethical. And Take One, Make One starts those kids out the right way. Hope you enjoyed that. It does us good to all to remember what we're supposed to be. Back on the other side. That music will get you up and going. Welcome back to the final segment of Woods and Water South Ghana for Saturday, this Saturday. And a couple of news stories for you in the last segment before we get on to what's going to happen next week. This story from the Daily Signal, September 25th, 2014. For gun shop owners, it's no longer hip to be square. It's white, it's square, at a 1-inch by 1-inch diameter. It's the perfect accoutrement to any entrepreneur's smartphone, commonly known as the square. Well, if you haven't heard, there's a something by the U.S. Department of Justice called Operation Choke Point. They began pressuring banks to drop customers who buy or sell firearms, tobacco, and other goods considered not acceptable. If you keep up with the news, you might have heard about the episode with SunTrust Bank and Emin Gun and Pawn and Morris Williams, where they just closed his bank accounts for him in response to this Operation Choke Point. Well, now it's hit square. And the reason I bring this up, not to be political, you need to know what's going on nevertheless, but to tell you if you plan to go to a gun show, because one of the things it's going to impact is not only at their brick and mortar, their place of business, but when they go outside, and one of the main places they go outside is the gun shows. So if you plan to go to a gun show, I would recommend you carry cash. Because a lot of those people that were, you know, a lot of people will still have the credit card machines or the pads or whatever. But just to be on the safe side, might want to carry cash, because evidently Square has said now that we're not going to let our people use it to buy guns. Just something you need to know. DNR, and you love to see this, or I love to read this, excuse me, I'm looking at it now. DNR to begin survey for removal of illegal buoys. If you have a boat, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The South Carolina Department of Natural Resources Law Enforcement Division will begin October the 1st to locate illegal buoys along state waterways and lakes. This action is a result of the increasing number of illegal no-wake buoys that are located on many lakes and waterways across the state. They are quickly becoming a navigational hazard and can otherwise be confusing to the public. Amen. I don't mind a sign saying watch your wake, and there are plenty of those around Charleston and lakes around the state. But when people go so far as to put out a buoy that looks like a DNR buoy, and you're running down and you look at it and you're like, boy, that looks good. Looks like it's okay. No wake zone. Didn't know that one was here. And you get up to it and it's just somebody's put up a buoy. It says no wake zone, but there's no official to it. Once the survey is completed, DNR will begin the task of removing each marked illegal buoy. Owners of the buoys will have 30 days to remove them. And after that, DNR will do it for them. So kudos to our Department of Natural Resources Law Enforcement Division for handling a problem that's gotten out of hand. On the other hand, boaters, we need to be respectful of the guys who've got their boats tied up to the dock and not go running out or plowing, throwing off a huge wake. I mean, either get up on plane where you throw little or no wake, or be considerate. Shellfish season will open October 1st in South Carolina. Oh, by the way, don't forget that shrimp season's already open. I had some friends that left Thursday. They were down there Thursday, Friday, Saturday to come back tomorrow. I was talking to them on the phone. They use a concrete mixer to mix their shrimp bait with. There's 9 of them going down. They have 4 boats. I think they plan to stay out every daylight hour. They're going to be shrimping daytime up in Bulls Bay. And, but they took over 200 pounds of shrimp pancakes with them, or shrimp bait pancakes. Now, usually when you talk about baiting for shrimp, you hear about bait balls, but don't make bait balls. Make shrimp, make bait pancakes. You flatten them out so they don't roll away with the tide. I hope the weather cleared up for them down there, but man, using a concrete mixer to mix your shrimp bait, that's a lot of shrimp bait. So anyway, the shellfish will open October the 1st. It'll go all the way through May 15th unless changed by DNR. There are 20 public shellfish grounds and 13 state shellfish grounds along the coast. There's an additional 53 state shellfish grounds that are managed for recreational and commercial harvest. All state managed grounds are posted with a boundary sign. And let me tell you, there's nothing better in December and January to go pick your own bushel and a half of oysters. They're just so good. Even eating them right there on the creek. Wet, salty. Yeah, you might get a little mud, but boy, they taste so good. If you're planning to go, you have to have a saltwater recreational fishing license. The limit is 2 bushels of oysters, 1/2 bushel of clams in any one day. Limited to 2 calendar days per 7-day period. So go have fun with that. Normally I like to wait till it gets a little colder, but hey, it's all up to you. It's open. Go take advantage of it. Nothing's fresher than good South Carolina seafood. Our brothers to the north, North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission, they will implement delayed harvest restrictions on trout waters beginning October the 1st. It says on 33 trout waters in 18 western North Carolina counties on October 1st, before October 1st, hatchery-supported regulations applied to these waters. Under delayed harvest, you can't keep any trout from October the 1st to June the 5th. No natural baits allowed. Anglers can only fish with single-hook artificial lures. Their definition of an artificial lure is a fishing lure that neither contains nor has been treated with any substance that attracts fish by the sense of taste or smell. So don't go dipping your trout flies in Yum or Gulp juice. That's illegal in North Carolina. I've often been tempted to do that down in Charleston. Just get so frustrated, you think, wow, man, if I could put a little juice on this fly, but you just can't do it. Something about breaking that boundary. South Carolina and North Carolina will begin high-density trout stockings in October. Perfect time of the year to go fish those delayed. Yes, as the leaves fall off, you do get a little tangled every once in a while with some leaves and that sort of thing. But, hey, it's a beautiful time of the year to be on the water. The water's cool. They stock these fish, and you get some that have been there a month or two, and they get kind of finicky, and it's almost like you're fishing wild trout. I did check the South Carolina weekly trout stocking summary. They did on Tuesday stock the Chog in Brasstown, 2,400 trout. That will pick up a little bit as fall goes on too. Moving on, I've been asked by DNR to give you this information. Numerous hunter education classes added to the upstate. I believe I said something about this last week. I got an email from a guy with DNR. Not sure, but anyway, just to reiterate, if you were born after June 30th, 1979, you must complete a hunter education course approved by the DNR before a hunting license, before you can get one. So, if you plan on hunting this year, you fall in that category. You haven't got one. They've added some more. October the 4th, Foothills Community Church in Seneca. October 25th, DNR offices down in Clemson. November the 1st, Calhoun Falls State Park. November the 8th, DNR offices at Clemson. And December the 6th, DNR offices at Clemson. So go to the DNR webpage. You can actually take those courses online on a self-study. But the in-class, there's just something about doing stuff in a class with other people, the interaction, the questions you can ask right there in the classroom. Just a good course to have, you know, for, there again, ethics, safety, that sort of thing. Some more DNR news. We're going to talk about ducks here for a little bit. Wood duck box applications are available until November the 1st. If you have a pond and you would like to have wood ducks, grab a box. The wood ducks will come. Preferably, you know, you've got big bass and all, kind of shelter them, put them in some really shallow water. I've got some wood duck boxes over at the farm. It's amazing to watch a wood duck, as fast as they fly, go into the hole of a wood duck box just wide open on the wing. It's an amazing sight. But they normally nest in hollowed out trees. And, they're prolific ducks in South Carolina, almost our, you know, our home duck or whatever. It has saved many a duck hunt for a lot of duck hunters. But there's not enough hollowed out trees, so they came up with these wood duck boxes. Approximately 1,000 boxes will be available for distribution. I believe you are limited. Let's see, I got an application here. You can request up to 5 boxes. That doesn't mean you're going to get them, but they will be available up to 5 boxes. Ducks Unlimited contributed approximately 50% of the cost for construction. And the Watery Correctional Institute will assemble the predator shields and construct the boxes. So you'll get a treated pole, the predator shield, and the assembled box. You can download the application from the DNR website. And like the application deadline is November the 1st. Help out the wood duck. It's a great duck to have around. They're really, the Drake wood duck is probably one of the prettiest ducks out there, hands down. And I've seen most ducks up close and personal over the years. So the other bit of duck news is the lottery hunts for the South Carolina State Duck Hunts are available. They are all online this year. No more paper applications for this. You can have 4 adults, minimum age for the adults, 10. There are 11 different areas. You can, you know, pick out how many areas you want to go based on preference. There's a $20 registration price. 11 simple rules, you know, talking about Bear Island East, Bear Island, the Springfield, the Cut. You know, you may need a boat, blind, decoys, that sort of thing. You need to be in somewhat of a good shape to do this. Chest waders and flashlights are a necessity. Use of retrievers is strongly recommended. Non-toxic shot. Blinds are available some places. You need to take your own. Each hunter is limited to 25 shells, which I think is great. Just makes you think about that shot one time, as opposed to dove hunting when, you know, 50 shells on the state field or unlimited if you're on your own field. And I went ahead and did a little research for you. Actually, it's not much. They give these out every year. The 2013-14 average duck per hunter. Bear Island was 3.8. Bear Island Springfield, the Cut, was 4.5 ducks per person. Bear Island West, 3.6. Santee Coastal Murphy Island, 3.6. Santee Delta East Unit 3.7 and Santee Delta West Unit 3.5. So, which tells you on these draw hunts, and you have to have some preference points. I don't know how many it takes to get drawn these days, but, you probably will not get drawn your first time. That's okay. Get the preference point, stay at it, and, you'll get it. These are some great hunts. You meet new people, get to play with other people's dogs. If you're a dog person, it's good. So, Chuck, for this week, when Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone, he had 3 missed phone calls from Chuck Norris. Next week.
Year 2014, Forest Wood Cup champion, South Carolina's own, Anthony Gagliardi!
Yes. Prosperity South Carolina's own Anthony Gagliardi will be on the show to tell us about his Cinderella season on the 2014 FLW Tour. I guess you can use Cinderella while you're talking about bass fishing. If you're not a bass fishing junkie, you still need to listen to his story. He broke a rule, not one you and I would even think about. Called up, told him what he'd done, and it ended up disqualifying him from the tournament on Lake Okeechobee. Now, like a lot of other sports, these tournaments are determined by points. Try starting out with 0 points and you got 100 and something other professional bass fishermen ahead of you, and you have to make the top 45 to even make the cut in the next 5 tournaments. He did that. He did something better than that. He won the Forestdale Wood Cup on Lake Hartwell, his home lake, last August. Anthony is a great guy. Clemson graduate with a degree in engineering, has a wonderful wife and 2 cute kids, and a story for the bass fishing history books. I hope you'll tune in and listen. Also, we'll be talking to Justin Thayer. If you don't know who he is, well, I didn't know until I went to the Quality Deer Convention in Athens. Justin's did a field module on tree stand safety I thought every deer hunter ought to listen to. He's a biologist from Mississippi, calling from a duck blind. Nothing like getting it straight from the field. Get outside. I got the canoe on top of the truck. My brother's waiting. I'm going to the woods. Get out there. Be careful. And don't forget the camera. I'll see you next week.